Reminder that tonight at 9 o'clock, we'll be continuing the Rav Dessler Psychology Series, 9 o'clock tonight upstairs and also on Zoom. Additionally, today was my grandmother's yahrzeit. Tonight's learning should be an ilui for her neshama, Chana Basia Bas Shmuel. This week's parsha, we have the Aseres HaDibros, and yet there's not much for the Sefer HaChinuch really to comment on the Aseres HaDibros in this week's parsha, because they're a repeat Mishnah Torah of the Aseres HaDibros that already appeared back in Parshas Yisro. However, on the 10th of the Aseres HaDibros, he does comment. What is the 10th of the Aseres HaDibros? Can't cheat? They're not here? What's the 10th of the Aseres HaDibros? Lo Sachmot is wrong. Good guess. Anything else? Lo Sachmot is the 10th back in Parshas Yisro, which he commented on back in Parshas Yisro. The reason why he's commenting again is because it's changed. The words Lo Sachmot do appear. The change of the words is Lo Sis Aveh. Thou shalt not desire. Desire your friend's car, his job, his life. Don't desire all that your friend has. The Sefer HaChinuch starts out by saying, you're probably wondering why I'm counting this mitzvah at all. After all, I did already count Lo Sachmot back in Parshas Yisro, and they're the same thing. Lo Sachmot, don't covet. Lo Sisava, don't desire. What's really the difference? But based on the Rambam, he explains that Lo Sachmot is an action-based mitzvah. A person who doesn't steal in the classic sense because he's paying for what he's taking or he's pressuring the person to sell it to him or give it to him. He's not stealing in that sense, but he's taking it because he desires it and goes out of his way to make sure he gets it. Lo Sis Aveh, in this week's Parsha, Mitzvah 4:16, Sefer HaChinuch argues is just about the feelings. As the Pasuk says, desire. The desire alone, just the thoughts, just the feelings alone, one violates this Aveira. He acknowledges the two are connected. If one really desires something, eventually it will lead to taking that object. So you first violate Lo Sis Aveh, when you really stop and think and dwell on what someone else has, wishing you could live their life. And then eventually, if it leads you to take their life, take their things, take their stuff, then you violate Lo Sachmot as well. For that reason, very interestingly, he argues over here at the end of the mitzvah that this mitzvah applies to B'nai Noach as well. You might say, hey, it's not one of the seven that B'nai Noach, Gentiles, are obligated in. He says, well, they're obligated in not to steal, and this is a precursor to the precursor of not to steal, to think about what someone else has, and that's included. He says, B'nai Noach are commanded against not involving themselves in arayos. Arayos is a broad term for many mitzvot of our 613. So too, Gezel is a broad term for many different aspects of stealing, including Lo Sis Aveh, very interestingly. But then he asks the million-dollar question. And don't get too excited by the $1 million in the question, or you might violate Lo Sis Aveh. And he says, you're probably wondering, how could the Torah command me what to feel? What to think? Isn't that a little bit much? Torah says, thou shalt not steal, I get it. Thou shalt not pressure the person to sell it to you, I get it. Don't feel desire for someone else's stuff? How can the Torah possibly expect me to control what I feel? I feel the way I feel. And he writes that apparently the Torah is commanding us, it is possible for a person to be in charge of how they feel. And this person does have a semblance of control over their thoughts, over a sense of what things they choose to dwell and desire. And for that reason, the person is obligated to take whatever steps they can to change it, to change how they feel, to overcome these desires, selfish desires, to take what someone else has. Now, how does a person actually go about in doing that? He doesn't really fill us in, but a lot of the other commentators do fill in. Ibn Ezra, you know, nearly 1,000 years ago at this point, commented back in Parshas Yisro, whereas according to the Sefer HaChinuch's terminology, really should have commented over here. He asked the million-dollar question, how could the Torah tell us not to desire what someone else has? And what the Ibn Ezra comes out, it's a very fascinating idea, that a person, by changing their perspective, by changing the way that they think, they can actually change the way they feel. This really is the foundation of CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, which has this triangle, magical triangle, which is the root of everything, that there are thoughts, there are behaviors, and there are feelings. And by changing any one of those in the triangle, you can actually affect the other two. Sefer HaChinuch was very famous for one aspect of that triangle, which is changing what you do changes how you think and changes how you feel. What he calls acharei ha'pa'ulos nimshachem halavavos. You act a different way, it'll change your whole perspective, it'll change the way that you feel. But now we're learning another aspect of that triangle. Flip it around. If you change the way you think, you can actually change the way that you feel. Ibn Ezra says a person has a desire for someone else's wife, someone else's car, someone else's job, someone else's life. It's because they have a skewed perspective. They have this sense that it could be mine. It should be mine. It's magia li. It's fitting for me. It's ra'i for me. I should have that. And he says with a mashal about a person who desires the princess. A peasant doesn't desire the princess, he says. She's way out of his league. She's way out of his league. He wouldn't even think about having thoughts about the princess because he knows that it's totally beyond him. In Slabodka, they change it around. They say not that she's way above him, but you're the prince and she's a pauper. Why would you desire her? She's obviously not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed for you in your package deal. It's not for you. Rav Dessler, quick shout out. Rav Dessler actually talks about this idea and he says, could you imagine being jealous of someone else's glasses? You plan and scheme and you break into their house and you steal their glasses and you put them on and they don't fit. And the prescription is off. It's not made for you. It doesn't work. God gave each of us our own prescription for life. And God knows what's fitting for this person, what's fitting for that person. The things that may look desirous when someone else has them, the grass is usually dirty on the other side. You know, we see a slice of someone else's life, and we think that I want to have that. What we see on Instagram isn't really the whole story. You know, the snapshot of the vacation where they're all smiling. They're probably fighting in the car too, just like you have it. No one ever posts online, yo, check out this video of my husband yelling at my son for failing his math test, LOL. They don't post that stuff. They just post the good stuff, and everyone thinks, wow, they have the greatest family, they have the greatest job, they have the greatest life. I wish I had that. The Bali Musar explained, the Pasuk ends off, V'chol asher l'reyacha. You're jealous of someone else's life? It's a package deal. You want that aspect? Chol asher l'reyacha. You have to have everything. No one's life is perfect. Don't get fooled by the little slivers you get to see. Chol asher l'reyacha, it's a package deal. The idea is when a person changes their perspective, by changing their thoughts, by having this intellectual discussion and saying, God gave me the life prescription right for me. I'm the prince. That's a pauper. I'm way above this. It's not the right thing for me. By changing the way that we think, we actually have the ability to change how we feel.